Yo, Johnny.
What's going on, man?
Not too much. Just getting the day started here. How you doing? Sounds like a busy morning over there.
Oh yeah, my morning usually goes from like drinking coffee and sharing memes on Instagram to like my kid getting up and just all out chaos. And it's only one kid. I don't know how people with several kids do it. I mean, yeah, it baffles me. They might, yeah.
It's a circus, I think. And I love that you brought up the memes because I love that that's your Instagram page. I was like, oh, what's Johnny posting these days? It's like a very little montage of random things.
Yeah, I try to keep it funny, but also like try to cross my T's and dot my I's, don't get in trouble. But yeah, I like to keep it
Who
funny.
you getting in trouble with these days?
Oh, anyone, mate. Anyone.
We'll leave it at that.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you so much for doing this. It was very humble to see your name pop up on our Instagram. And I was like, I've been following you since I started riding. And so this is 2008. You were in Rochester for Rochester Omnium. You were on, I think, Toyota that year. And I had no idea about bike racing. I had just joined a club, and people were like all raving about this race coming to town. And I went down and watched the time trial. I think you came in third that day, actually. And then just fast forward, I think we raced Bank of America in Delaware, crit in that like super flat road race, probably like 2012 or something. It was
Wilmington.
Van
Wilmington.
Poppels were on your team that year, I think, with UHC. And yeah, it was when you guys were coming to everything, and people were like, oh God. Okay, well, they're gonna go one through five. Who can get sixth today? Anybody?
I wasn't that 1 through 5. I was like doing the work and coming ninth. Oh, coming 20th. So
Exactly. See, doing the work and then still coming 20th. The thing that we're all like, oh, I got 30th today. Awesome. And then I actually, so then when I moved to North Carolina, I'm like in the middle of nowhere on a gravel bike. And I'm like, I think that was a Floyd's kit. That dude looked like a legit cyclist. Who the hell was that? And someone's like, that's Johnny Clark. I'm like, not Johnny Clark. And they're like, Johnny Clark. I'm like, what the hell is he doing down here? How long have you always lived in the States, or how long have you been over here?
I came here in 2008, to the, you said Rochester, to Toyota United was my full year here, and I lived in Boulder, Colorado for like 6 months, and then I met my now wife, who also raced. I met her at Philly, at the Philadelphia Classic, and the last few months I was here, I migrated to Asheville to stay with her. We were in Asheville for 10 years, and she was a registered nurse after cycling, and then became nurse practitioner, nurse midwife, and Caldwell Memorial offered us kind of a gig that we couldn't refuse. It was kind of as I was going from UHC to Floyd, so my salary was dropping a bit, and she got an offer there. So we and I think it was a good time to get out of Asheville. It was starting to get a bit hectic down there. So here I am in Lenoir.
Yeah, it's. I think you're in a amazing place for riding. You have the warmer temps. You can still go to the hills, and it's. I think now is when people in the Blowing Rock Boone area are getting a little bit jealous of being people down off the
Oh
mountain.
yeah.
So.
Yeah, that now they start. I was thinking you could be like Joe Rogan and you have that, have the assistant and you could pander him and he'd show a map.
I need a. God, what's his name? I hear it all the time.
I don't know, but like he'd show the map so they could like
Yeah,
explain where
exactly.
Blowing Rock it is. Yeah, I like it down here. I mean, I can. It gets a bit hot in the summer. I tell myself it's good for my blood, and I just train in it. But I don't know. It's fine. Yeah, you can. The only hard thing is from here, if you wanted to go do some intervals on a climb, they're all gravel. You know, so if you're not set up with a gravel bike with a power meter on your bike, it's a bit hard, but whatever. You make it work. You make it work. So, but I'm lucky that kind of strip before the mountains. The best thing is there's no cars. Like you don't see any cars all the way out to like Lake James, and you don't see any of all the way out to Fergus and Wilkesboro. So if you just train in there, no one bothers you.
Maple Sally, was that an interval or you just went to smash that KOM?
Well, that was in the. That was in the COVID year, I think, and I remember doing that. I got a gravel bike on Floyd's, and I remember doing it, and I'd do it pretty hard, and I'd be like 20 minutes off, and I'm just like, these guys are crazy. And half these guys set that time while doing the bootlegger, which is a 100-mile gravel race. And one day I just rode my mountain bike down there, and I lowered the saddle, and I lowered the saddle. I was messing around while I did the while I rode it, and then it said you got a PR. I was like, how did I get a PR? So then I was like, all right, I'm going back tomorrow. And I'm like, every time it's uphill, I'm sprinting. And every time it's downhill, I'm railing corners. And then at one point, I like had to go through the middle of two bear hunters that were sitting there talking about hunting bears. And I blew through the middle of them and they were screaming. Thought I was going to get shot by them. And, but yeah, I got my Strava KOM. So
There you go.
it's a cool road, Maple Sally. Everyone I, you know, for context for people, it's what is it like an 18-mile up and down fire road
Yeah.
on gravel?
In the middle of nowhere. Like desolate. I went out there one day and I was solo, and the first comment from Landry, I don't know if you know Landry, he coaches with us. He lives in Boone. And he was like, kudos for going there by yourself, man. Like, what were you gonna do if something happened? I was like, I didn't realize how, I mean, it's remote. There's no car, there's nobody. Yeah, there's some cool riding out there. I mean, I've only been there like a year and a half, so just a lot of exploring to do still.
For sure. For sure. But you're good when it gets warm to stay up there in Blowing Rock. I mean, the fresh mornings and stuff. You get out of the door here and it's like a soup bowl already at like 6:30 a.m. So,
Yeah, but you brought up the training.
yeah.
I felt that. I mean, I felt if I went out, to Georgia or down to Georgia, other places, I was dying. I think I need to come down your way a little bit more. The thing I hate is I don't like riding on 321, and I
Oh,
know
yeah, for
people
sure.
go down that, but I need to just maybe like once a week or go north. I go north a lot, and so I just need to get to more heat. It's brutal being like, oh, 75, it's hot out, and then you go race in 90. It's like a different world.
You can, if you drop down 321, you can get off right at the bottom of the steep part. It's like Kirby Mountain Road. So like as you're going down the steep part, the car, you're almost going as fast as the cars anyway. So, and then once it flattens out, I think is where's the dangerous part, because then cars are buzzing you. But if you turn right and get off Kirby Mountain Road, you can get into all that Collettsville and
Is
that
do you need a
area on the
gravel
back
bike for
road.
that, or is that can you do road bike?
Oh, you could do road bike.
You can,
I
but
mean,
it's see, I
I've
hate
got
riding on any dirt on a road bike. I'm like a princess with that. Because I saw one of your
so do
roots
I. I don't
down
like it.
by where you were riding, and I think I was going to try and do it, and I was like, oh, he's going on like dirt roads on this ride. And so then I just meandered around on pavement. But
I've
what
done
let's
some stupid stuff on my road bike.
well, that's good. I think
That's
most
for
people do.
sure.
People my friends are like, dude, you're such a baby. I'm like, no gravel on a road bike.
Whatever,
Let's do it.
whatever.
Let's do a quick intro for like the three people who don't know who you are. I don't want to introduce you. I'm more curious how you introduce yourself. So who's Johnny Clark?
Who am I? So I suppose I come from a bit of a, I'll go right back. I'll go right back. I suppose I come from a bit of a cycling family. My father, he got into cycling pretty late. He was and the story you told me about yourself, it kind of coincides a little bit with you from what you told me. I mean, he, from what I know, he was maybe 16, 17, 18, and he was severely overweight and probably mentally hurting a fair bit. And he went to a doctor, probably not to talk about the mental side of things, because you never did that in those days, but to more talk about how he can lose weight. And the doctor said, listen, mate, the only thing you can do to lose weight is ride a bike, because everything else will be too hard on your joints.
No way.
And he went there at like, this is the story, so like exaggeration here and there, right? But 16, 17, 18, he went there, and by he was 21, 22, he was at the Mexico Olympics on the track.
It's
So I
crazy.
think he, yeah, I think he just found the thing that like cured whatever drama was going on in his head and gave him an identity. And you know, the more he put in, the more he got out of it. And then he was a cyclist ever since. I don't know, so many times Australian champion, this, that. You know, we lived and breathed track cycling at home. And he's been a coach for ever since after that. You know, I don't know how many world champions he's coached, how many Australian champions, blah, blah, blah. So, and give me a time out if you want me to stop talking, because I've had a coffee and that.
No, this is good. There's no inbounds, out of bounds. It's just like the flow of a conversation, you know?
All right.
That's super sweet. And for people that know, according to Wikipedia, he was 17-time Australian national champion, which is freaking bonkers. That's a just okay. Such a
well, you've done more research than me. You know, I always, when he tells me stories, I try to take a fraction off, you know, the old man exaggeration stuff. So right. Like, you got to look in the middle somewhere.
Well, I obviously knew your brother Hilton. And so Troy, he wrote, he just wasn't as good as you guys. No offense, Troy. Is that, or do I not have the internet on him?
I think in some ways he made Hilton look slow, to be honest. He was really? Very fast, my brother, Troy. Okay. Yeah, so his story actually is, so we all grew up on the track racing, even though I couldn't do it to save myself. I don't know what happened with the fast twitch fiber disposal, but Troy got a lot of it, Hilton got a lot of it, and I got like, I don't know, 0.2 of it, you know? So my brother, Troy, he was very fast on the track. He was a very handy rider. He could go well in the endurance track races and in the sprint races. Obviously, things have changed a lot. Guys don't do that anymore. It's much more specialized. But he was handy at both, which also made him very handy as a road sprinter. And he started coming to America in like 99, like getting the Greyhound from New York, from JFK to Allentown or T-Town, wherever they went, with these two cardboard bikes in the cardboard boxes. And he actually, so he raced for a bit. And the story goes that when my brother Hilton first came here, he came on a team called Net Zero. There's that documentary about it. I don't know if you've seen The Hard Road. There's a documentary about that team. It's not bad. Well, Troy actually was the one who got that contract. And then Troy had kind of a bit of a career ending injury before he was meant to leave to go and race for them. And he kind of finagled it and said, I can't come. So, you know, my brother goes, all right, would you like to take him? Even though Hilton had got his results in his own, for himself already, that's kind of how Hilton entered America, was through Troy.
And so Troy, Troy kinda, my bad, I owe you an apology. I was like poo-pooing on you and you actually got this game started.
Yeah, no, he's very good. He's very fast. Just had a few, had a bit of a, an injury, a traumatic injury, and it kind of took him out of the sport. Ironically, Troy still rides now for sure. He loves it more than ever. Hilton, I don't think from the moment he stopped has touched a push bike since.
Really?
Yeah, I think Hilton loved to win. Even though he loved the process, he loved training for sure. But I think Hilton loved the Hilton show, and Hilton loved his hands in the air, and he loved to win. And I think he was just done with the bike, where I think me and Troy are a little differently. I think we'll keep riding. Maybe Hilton will again one day, but he's back in Australia. He's actually a police officer, and he's working 40 hours a week and lifts weights in the gym. And I don't think he rides his BMX bike with his little, with his kid at the park, but he has not touched a road bike ever since.
Okay.
So, he was just done and dusted. So yes, going back, Troy did race. And then, got Hilton into America, and in a way, not in a way, 100%, Hilton got me into America after I was done with, I kind of went up through the, well, we can go way back. I mean, I think when I was, there was a big age gap between Troy and Hilton and me. I think it's like 6 years to Hilton and 8 years to Troy. Okay. And when I was younger, my parents busted up, you know, so they should have. They weren't good together. I think I was about 4 years old. They were a bit older. So by the time I was like 10 or 12, they were maybe 16 and 18 or 18 and a bit older. They were going to races with dad. You know what I mean? They were already leaving the house. And although, don't get me wrong, Dad always had me going to races. He always had me a bike. Used to get me a track bike, and he put brakes on it for me to ride to school in the winter. Right? So he always, I don't know how he did it on like a single man salary, but he always had us bikes, always. You know, so I'm not poo-pooing on him, but there were some trips where they'd go that it just wasn't point for me to go. So I'd be sitting at home scratching my head like, what's going on? And I think that brings me more to like, you know, I'm going to go on a rant here, so be ready for it.
Let's
I
go.
think that I think, you know, I've done a bit of my research, like research. I've watched a few of your snippets of your podcast and stuff like
Uh-oh.
that. And no, it's all good. And you know, I've seen a lot of like, you know, lactate, VO2, watts, glucose, blah, blah. And obviously that's a huge, 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 huge part of this sport, you know. But I've always struggled with it, the scientific side of things, you know. And for me, whether that held me back or didn't, you know, so going back to when I was young, they'd be going to a bike race, I'd be scratching my head and I'd just have this burning feeling inside my chest, you know, like I couldn't be in the house, like I had too much energy. You know, going around the mental health roller coaster. I didn't know this then, but I think I know a bit more now. And when I talk about mental health, I'm not trying to be a martyr. I'm not trying to be the only one who goes through this shit because lots of people do. Like, I'm not trying to educate. Like, I'm just telling you my experience with it. You
Totally.
know, on tomorrow I could be flat on my face for sure. I don't know. You know, so I struggled as going through high school and stuff, and I was overweight, and I probably fueled a lot of that with food. You know, like trying to like just figure life out and why do I feel like this? And at about 15, 16, I was in high school disrupting the class as I always did. And because I 100% had ADHD, like I couldn't sit still. And so I just disrupt the class. And the teacher was like, I kind of hate this teacher, but I like her for it. But she was like, how old are you? And I was like, oh, I'm 15. And she's like, you know, you can leave school now. And I was like, okay. So the next day I came in with Dad and he signed me out, left school, and this is high school, what you guys might call middle school. I don't know, I'm still not down with it. And I went straight to the job site with him because he was always a carpenter too. Because all those old school riders, 90% of them were tradesmen too. You know, it was like a so I started working with him. He was a lot more lenient with me when it came to taking time off to ride. You know, my brother Hilton, he's actually a fully qualified carpenter, and my dad made him work every second of his apprenticeship, right? But I think, as you see, as parents get further into their kids, they get tired. You know what I mean? And they're like, they get tired, and they're like, I can't do this anymore. If you want to ride, go. I don't care. So when I first got my first road bike. And as I said, we're a track family. The road bike was like, what's that thing? You know, that's to ride to the track and back, that bike there, right? So I figured it out and I was like, so I started doing these long road rides. I was like, I can stuff my pockets full of food, right? And ride for 5 and 6 hours. And I get rid of this, I get out of this house, I get rid of this burning funk that's in my chest. That goes away. You know, that's gone. I'm losing weight. I see muscles in my legs, maybe one vein, you know, and I feel good. You know, the rest of my life stagnated, don't get me wrong. Like socially, everything else, women, I should say girls at that point, that all stagnated because I was putting so much time into riding my bike, which was a better option than feeling crap all the time. You know what I mean? I was like, and then suddenly I'm like, I'm finding myself in front groups in races on a road bike I never ever dreamt of. So I was like, this is win-win for me. You know what I mean? Like I'm curing all this funk and I'm moving ahead. And suddenly, you know, I'm at the Junior World Championships going to them as a first year junior. And it kind of escalated like that. And the reason I bring this up when you talk about prop like the you know, all the technical training is that my medicine, and it still is now, is like zone two, diesel, tempo. We call it SE. You know, I think Americans call it muscle tension, like all into steady state,
Like low
all the,
cadence,
yes, with
muscle.
low cadence. All that mid-range stuff calmed that pinball in my head down, you know.
Mm.
So I was, and it was getting me places, you know. But it got to a certain point into juniors, into under 23 when I was in the national team, and I was like, you gotta do some intervals, you gotta do some different stuff. And I came in into touch with coaches that were like, and this is an exaggeration, but you know, you gotta do 13 5.5 second sprints with two back flips and a beetroot and this and that, you know. And I'm like, and I, in a way, looking back, even though it wasn't their fault, I took offense to it. Because what happened was, when I would do that training, sure, my top end would come up, right? Say if I did that training for 2 weeks, my top end would come up. I'd put on 3 kilos because I'd eat like a pig, because I wasn't getting that fire inside me cured by that training. What was curing me is that diesel stuff, right? And my mind was gone, you know. So I'd show up to a race, surely I can do a bit better at VO2, but I'd be heavy, my mind would be gone, I'd be fighting with people in races for no reason, right? And
Interesting.
I'd have a crap race. Whereas, so this is, I know the answer to this, but I'm gonna give you the riddle. What's better for someone like me, right? To do my zone two all the way up to the event with my SE, bit of tempo, bit of sub threshold and some sprints. Don't really have a good top end, but my mind is like a laser. You know what I mean? And I'm focused. And guys would punch me in the gut in the race, and I wouldn't even react. Because I was focused, you know. I, or opposed to having a bit more power and being a mess on the start line, you know. And I know the answer now. The answer is 80% of that slow twitch and a little bit of that. There's no doubt, you know what I mean. So like I get that now, but that's where I struggled with a lot of coaches my whole career, was that when they were like, you need to do this, right? And in my mind, I'm like, but do you know the effect that has on me? You know, and
Dude.
to their benefit, and I'm not throwing their number to the bus, because I wasn't telling them anything, you know what I mean? But even going way back, and I think back to my dad, I think he knew when I was doing the track training and this and that, he knew what I needed. So another story is, I told you I was ready for a rant. When I did the
I
junior
love
track.
it. Let's go.
When I did the junior track worlds in Melbourne, so I did the junior track worlds, and it was Melbourne, hometown, huge deal. I was doing the team pursuit and the Madison. I was very good in the Madison because I could critically think, and I'd watched my brothers grow up racing them.
Explain the
And
Madison real quick for people who don't know what that is.
oh, okay, it's the one where there's two riders on the track, but there's actually one in the race at the time, and you actually grab your partner and sling them into the race. You go up to the fence.
Cool.
When the bunch catches you again, you come in, and it's run on a points race system.
Okay.
So there's a lot of, and don't get me wrong, I know to track racing now, I know nothing. You know, it's changed so much. I know nothing. But back then, I watched my brothers race, and I could critically think in the moment and set my partner up really well for the sprints and stuff like that. So anyway, I was horrible in the team pursuit. Horrible. Like I couldn't get off the start line well enough. AKA, because who loved to do 6 hour long rides? You know what I mean? So explosiveness was not my forte. So anyway, I remember I did the qualifying, the team pursuit, and I sucked. And they were like, all right, you're not gonna do the second round of the final. And I'm like, all right. And I remember my dad came, and Gary Sutton was the national team coach. He's actually the USA coach now for track racing,
Okay.
predominantly women, I think, but also the men. But my dad and Gary raced together. My dad was a bit before him, but they knew each other well. And my dad was like, there's like 3 days to the Madison. And my dad was like, Johnny needs to go and do 4 hours a day. And Sato was kind of like, and my recollection, you know. And I remember my dad's quote of saying, Johnny's an aerobic cyclist, not an anaerobic cyclist. And I did that. And we ended up second in the Madison by 1 point, and I had a fantastic night. And who knows what physically that did to me, but mentally, it put me in that laser focus, you know. So maybe if I hadn't have done that, I might have been sprinting with 100 more watts. I might have been chasing better, but I would have made all the mistakes in the world in the race. You know.
I think, dude, I love that. But, and I think, you know, I cringe a little bit when you're like, oh, your videos are about this interval and that and this. And I love the science and stuff. But even I was talking to, not Nate Brown, God, Nate from EF Coaching. And, you know, and I can't remember, this actually might have been off camera. Or no, he was talking about like mistakes he's made. And he's like, you know, all these new things come out and it's cool to try, but then we kind of circle back to what works. Mm. And it's long rides, it's some intervals. Yeah. I think that even, you know, you bring up over-unders. I think people are divided because some people are so hyper into the science. And the thing about the science is like, we're taking people in a lab. They're often not experienced cyclists. We're like trying to take a sliver of their training and ignore all the other things they did for the past 6 months. Like, the science is cool and it gives us like threads of where we can take some of this stuff, but someone's going to do better at 4x8 constant power and someone's going to do better with over-unders and the other person's going to do better with VO2 max training. And it's like, how do we just find what works? But to your point, it has to resonate mentally and it has to like, the cyclist has to be hungry and you have to feel like you get a little win from doing this. And if somebody hate, I don't really do 40/20s cause I freaking hate them. I just do not enjoy them. And so that's sometimes like, well, maybe you should do more of them. So I've done more, yeah. I've never gotten faster from it. And it's like, okay, I'm going to sprinkle them in, but I'm not going to make it my focus. Cause I just like riding a bike and I want to be happy doing it. So I think experience has kind of gone by the wayside, I feel, in the past 5 years. Every comment and any, I go on like forums just trying to get a pulse of like what people are talking about. So I was like, well, where's the study? Where's the study? Hey, there was a study on these five people, and there are people that, not to knock how other people promote stuff, but they're like, you know, I'm going to look at all these studies and tell you the best thing to do. And if you look at the studies that they reference, they're trash. And so it's like, we just got to be really careful, I think. And I'm not saying this as a coach, as someone who puts out content like this, but as a cyclist myself, like I'm trying to digest and learn as much as possible from everybody else. So I hope that like our channel also has the vibe. But that's why I want to have podcasts like this with people that just have a ton of experience. I mean, you have forgotten more about cycling than most people that watch this know right now about cycling. And that's not blowing smoke at you. That's the honest truth. Like, it's just, experience matters a lot. And I think right now, it doesn't get the clout that it deserves. Because this, I'm not a huge Justin Williams fan, but he made a great comment one time. He's like, there's watts, and then there's bike racing. And you can be a lot of watts, and you can really suck at bike race. It doesn't equate to the same thing. And that's just so true.
My brother Hilton, he always used to say, when he, like, he was no, you know, he wasn't no world champion or any huge physical specimen, but he always used to laugh and say, I bet I beat that guy in the sprint doing way less watts than him, because he would always talk about exit speed out of the last corner, you know, guys diving underneath you. And that's very much the Justin Williams. Yeah, you know, my brother directed him for a year on silence. You know, that's very much that. Justin Williams, definitely an old school rider in a new school. You know, exit speed, if fighting at the right time, you know, like letting certain fights go. And then, so yeah, there's, and I suppose going to kind of my romance for the sport has been lost a lot. You know, and I'm not bagging the new guys. I could never walk a day in their shoes. You know what I mean? They are incredible. And there's some new guys who are down with the science and with the old school way of thinking about things. I get it. But this isn't having a go at them. But I've lost my romance for the sport. Like I said, I'm kind of, my mental health kind of depends a lot on the sport. You know, I feel back in the day, there was a lot of misfits in this sport. They didn't belong anywhere else in society. And they found a bike and suddenly they were like, oh my God, you know, this makes me feel good. And I just train all day and I'll get better and blah, 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 and make money out of it. When now it's a little bit more like, you know, I don't want to say his name, but like the Phil Gaimans and stuff working out there, their power to weight and stuff like that. And their ratio. And I know if I do this many watts for this much time, I'll win on sunset by 32 seconds and I'll only be able to get 12 bonus seconds, et cetera. You know, so I think I'm definitely in love with the old the old Cipollini Pantani, just old school cyclists. So,
To push back on that though a little bit, I feel like, they told Mark Cavendish he wasn't good enough to be a sprinter. Like he wasn't strong and his testing, his numbers sucked. And so I think the experience in that execution of the watts, like how many guys that do you know that have megawatts and they can't win or they win way less than they should? I think it's,
For
I
sure,
think,
but Cav's an old school guy, 100%.
yeah.
He falls into that old. I'm sure he's into the
Yeah,
science and
that's,
shit, but I don't know him. I don't know him from a
yeah.
bar of soap. But I, after watching his documentary and his, did you watch his documentary on Netflix? Oh, you should. It was really good. Just showed him just mentally caving in, and then he found this Greek coach who kind of connected with him more on a personal level, flew him to Greece. Ate the food that the coach's wife cooked, kind of felt at home, and then kind of found his legs again. So as I said, I don't know him from a bar of soap, but that was a pretty cool doco.
Do you feel like, I mean, do you feel like you've had waves like this before where it's like, I'm not really into this? And then maybe you like go through a season, then you're like, actually, something changes and you get hungrier, or maybe like mental health tanks one year and you're just like, you know what, maybe I'm done with this. And you come back and you're like, oh, wait, actually, no, I love doing this. Do you have those waves, or have you always been like, I love bike racing?
Oh yeah, I don't. I have those waves for sure. I have those waves with the science aspect of the sport. So going back, the three races that stand out in my career was one of the days in the Herald Sun Tour in 2016. I came third on an iconic Melbourne climb, Arthur's Seat, and Froome won. And another Damien Howson was second, but I went up that hill like a cut snake that day. Another moment, probably three or four of them was on three of them was Tour of Taiwan when I won it, and Jo Martin when I won it. Now these three times, what I said to myself about 6 weeks out was, "F my mental health." I said, "I am gonna do everything perfect. I'm gonna lose weight. I'm gonna do the science. I'm gonna do it absolutely perfect, and I'm gonna sit in my house and just deal with it." You know what I mean? Like, as I was doing 2 hours with VO2, 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 not eating much.
Were you
You know what I
hating
mean?
this time? When you say dealing with it,
I
were you
just
like wrestling
despising
this?
it. Oh,
Okay.
despising my life and being an absolute menace for my wife and child. Right? I don't know how she hasn't kicked me out. I
Just
have no idea.
cranky, like
Cranky.
me,
Yeah.
selfish.
Yes. All above. All of the above. Right? But I won those races, right, from doing that. But then I couldn't keep it going. You know what I mean? And what do you want to do when you win a race from a certain training for 6 weeks? You want to keep doing it. Because you're like, well, I won this, so I'm going to win this, and I'm going to win that, and I'm going to win this. And my whole life would cave in. I'd put on, like, when I won, I think when I did that climbing thing with Froome and Arthur, well, at Arthur's Seat, I was 65 kilo. 3 months later, I was 72. And that 3 months later was during like California and all the races that I needed to be in good shape. But I just put so much, like 3 months I couldn't sit in that anymore. You know what I mean? But what a coach should have said to me is like, not should have. I should have said to myself, should have said, hey, this is not. Actually, one person that would say this to me is my brother. He would say, this is not something you can keep going. This is like all your chips in, everything you've got. You need to go back to doing what you do for, go back to your zone two rides, put on a bit of weight, be happy, and then maybe by the time September comes, you can do this again. You know what I mean? But I'd always try to like, no, this is it. I've got the recipe now. I've got the recipe.
So would you go back in the kitchen and try and recook that, and then what would happen?
I would be worse than ever before. And I'd be down. And so, yes, love for cycling has come back and up and down, but my definitely the thing that I've gone also up and down with is like buying into the science. I don't even call it science because the stuff that I was doing is not science, like 6 by 2 minute VO2s, you know, like it was more the fact I think that I wasn't riding for long. You know, it was like 2.5 hours with these specific efforts. And then I've got, and I've never been good with hobbies. I still don't have a hobby today. Cycling. You know what I mean? Like, yes. So when I found the bike, as I said, the rest of my life stagnated. I just put it all in the bike, you know, and I watch my wife now. She 100% has ADHD, 100%. She runs, she works, she gardens, she hikes, she does everything. But I think in her upbringing, she was taught that there's other things in life. Nothing against my parents. I wouldn't have heard it in the moment. You know, if my mum tried to say to me, don't do that ride today, let's go gardening, she would have heard my feet clip in and me leave the door. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that was the hardest thing for me, training a little and then getting back to the house and then just hearing. Mm-hmm. And then my mind just start like a ping pong ball. Bing, 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 bing. Like that was always like if someone said to me, you've got a big 1 day race right now, right? And they said, my preferred training, like if I was fresh, I would rather do 3.5 hours zone two the day before that race than 1.5 hours with 3 sprints and some VO2. And I know what's physically better for me. It's 1.5 hours, just open up a bit, you know, don't wake the body up, keep the glycogen in the muscles. But like, I would rather go and do 3 or 4 hours. Mm-hmm. Because I know I would be much more mentally steady with that. Mm-hmm. But so that's been my, it's been my conundrum. Well, yeah. And you might, and it, that mightn't be physically better, the other one, but I know from my mental state that is, it's essential.
I mean, I'm laughing in my head because I think we all think that. I think we all think less training, be fresher. That's better. There are a million times that athletes have been like, wow, I raced so much better on Sunday than Saturday. Or I went and did Tour Bat and Kill. It wasn't when it was the pro race. It was 2 years after. And I went and rode 4 hours the day before because I was coming out of, I was actually back in grad school, was not suited. It was a terrible winter in upstate New York. Rode the trainer for 1 hour, 3 times during the week, and then tried to get outside on the weekend. And I'm like, well, I'm not even that fit. I need the miles. So I rode 4 hours and I got dropped. God, I want to say his name is Brian Smith. He ended up racing for Lupus. He got a contract from this win. He took off. I chased him and I just didn't have the miles. I cracked and came in second. And
nice.
On paper, it sounds like the worst plan, but it kind of worked. So
exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I'm a huge believer in volume. I think it was interesting this past year. I rode way too much. I kind of was, I don't know. I don't want to make this my story, but let me butt in.
Do you do, like, here's a question for you. All the miles you do, because I've stalked your Strava too, right? You don't need to do these miles for Masters Racing.
You just call me a masters racer. Shit, dude. If it's a crit, I do masters. If it's road racing.
I watched you at Winston-Salem do the masters.
Saw you there and I was going to come say what's up. And then you were like chatting with some people. I'm like, this is kind of weird. And then I saw you on the race course. I was like, oh, I'm going to say what's up after. And then you would bounce like, damn, that was my opportunity to be like, yo, what's up, dude? I've been following you for forever. Let me fanboy for a second.
I had a shit race. I got straight out of there. But going back to your training, you do this because you love it.
Yeah.
And because it does, like you said to me in that quick message that like of your background, that you were struggling a bit when you're younger and you're overweight and you found the bike.
Yeah.
You know, so it obviously soothes you.
Oh, dude, cycling saved my life. I get emotional thinking about it. If I did not, I believe a higher power put cycling in my life. I believe that somebody dragged me to these bike races. I hated it. I went in upstate New York. There's like a club of 200 guys, I'll say, and women. And they have training races every Tuesday. And it's legit 30 to 45 mile road race. There's like 10 courses kind of just outside the city in different places. And I hated it. I didn't know how to ride with people. And a friend was like, come to three. And if you don't like it after that, go away. And on the third one, I think I got seventh or something. This is like cat five, cat six, we'll say. And you got in a line then, and they used to do these barcodes to scan and keep track of what they call G-Tour. And dude, I got the dopamine hit. I was like, oh, damn, I did. I'm in the line. And then you're in the line. So people are like, hey, who are you? You're that dude that was in basketball shorts 2 weeks ago. You're in like a kit now. What's up? And I needed like a club. I needed some people besides all my bar friends. And it was okay, this is cool. Like, I'm going to come back to this. And then just got some mentors. And a guy was like, why don't you stop drinking? And I was like, eh. And then just slowly started. I mean, I got pegged in a bike race, and this girl was like, did you drink the night before? And I was like, no. She's like, what did you do on Friday? I'm like, oh, we like raged till 5. She's like, in the morning. I was like, yeah. She's like, that's why you did terrible on Sunday. I'm like, what? But I slept it off on Saturday. She's like, you really know nothing.
No.
So yeah, I took my life in a totally different trajectory. Just forever grateful. I mean, that's, yeah, it's crazy to think that, but so yeah, I do the miles because I love riding. I like kilojoules. I like looking at what I went and did. And it's like, whoa, I can't believe. I still try to put in perspective when we go out and we ride 100 miles. Like, damn, that is freaking far. I take it for granted. It's like, yo, a hundo, let's go. Especially I'm down here in Florida. It's like, soup, you're averaging 21 any day you want.
Yeah.
And so I think one time I got injured in 2012 and was off the bike for 40 days. Came back, went to go on a 2-hour loop, and I got an hour into that loop and I was exhausted. And my friend said, dude, you rode 20 miles. You should be tired. Like, how did you get home? Like, well, I just rode really slow, but I was gassed.
Yeah.
And I've kind of tried to always remember that because I think we forget how fit we get, even as amateurs. Like, a Cat 3 is a very fit athlete, especially in the United States of America. I heard whatever the obesity rate is now today in 2024 is like mind-boggling, and I should be there. I should be.
Well, you're curing. You're curing what you used to cure with food, with the bike.
Food, like the bike, drugs, or food, booze, drugs. Yeah, just
yeah. No, for sure. I mean, a lot of there's a reason why, like, I know back in my day, when I was younger, a lot of the pros, when they'd take time off, they'd be drunk and doing drugs, and because they were missing that dopamine or whatever it was, or like that adrenaline, you know, and they'd have to do that the whole time they took their month off, and then once bike started again, you know, that would ease off, you know what I mean? Or like little shit, like when I take time off the bike, all I crave is sugar. Like, I just want sugar. And it's like, well, I don't even know the word. I'm uneducated. Like, if it's dopamine or whatever it is, that's gone after you've ridden the bike, when you stop the bike. So you need to replace it somewhere, you know, or like, so yeah, I just find it interesting when people are like, you probably, like, that guy probably doesn't need to do that training. And I'm like, well, maybe he needs it to survive. You know what I mean? Like, maybe
I just get pride from it. Like, I'm really, and I think I don't like adventuring. Like, I don't like when I was down at Maple Sally, I don't like that I don't know where I'm going. I know other people, like, I'm the exact opposite of Lachlan Morton. Like, let me go around for 20 hours and see where I end up. That terrifies me.
Yeah, me too.
Landry is always telling me, he's like, you do these loops. And I mean, not like little loops, but I do very similar loops in North Carolina that I just really enjoy. I like
the
roads and the climbs. And so a little repetitiveness does not bother me, but
whatever. I worked at UPS this off season, man. People throw the same packages for 12 months a year, and pro cyclists want to complain they don't have another loop.
Yeah.
Like, give me an effing break, you know, like, whatever, you know, like, these guys go in there every day and do the same stuff every day, you know, and we complain that, not a good loop, or the interval climb wasn't good, or we need to explore a bit more. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
But I will, to play devil's advocate to that, when Landry does make routes that I don't know about, we'll have to get you out on some of these. He's put together some mega rides, and I was like, damn, we should have invited Johnny on this. Like, maybe he would think this is cool.
Yeah, but I'm like you. I'm OCD. I like doing my own thing. You know, like I'm in control. And I think sometimes people are like, think I'm a bit of a douche. Maybe I am,
People think I'm like a weird, like training monk, or I mean, I've left. If the ride starts at 9, in my brain, I'm there at 8:50. What if I flat? I've left friends before, and
Yeah, for sure.
I met someone's wife that said, "Oh, you're the bike Nazi." I said, "Excuse me?" She's like, "Oh yeah, you like leave people." And I said, "No, I leave on time.
Yeah,
Check
I love
yourself.
it.
Your husband's late. I'm
I
leaving."
love
Like.
it. Growing up in Australia, guys would be leaving 10 minutes before the leave time just to piss people off. Like if you weren't there 20 minutes before, you were gone. Like they
That's a
were
power
leaving at
move
eight
right there. I
fifty.
never did that, but I should.
And it was when I first got to America, and I was doing a group ride in Asheville, the bakery ride, and everyone's just sitting around till about 20 past 10, and they're like, "Oh, we've got to wait for Joe Blow. He's had a rough morning.
Oh,
He's gonna."
hell
And I'm
no.
like, "What?" I'm like, "No way, man. I'm on the road. This
That's
is the
crazy.
I'm just sitting here with this bubbling, anxious energy to like put into the pedals. I need to leave."
Yeah, someone said, "Oh, I texted you." I said, "Do you think I'm looking at? I'm not taking my phone's on do not disturb. Don't call me. You can't reach me for 4 to 5 hours. Like, it's just not happening."
That's
What's
good.
has anything changed in the train? So, can we call you a crit rider these days, or are you still
Oh yeah, call me what you want. I mean, they've
Well, let me
also
get. I don't
called
want to go
me.
down that path, but do you change anything in the training, or right now are you still zone two, low cadence, go do the stuff that keeps you mentally strong, or do
Yeah,
you
that.
change anything because of those types of race demands?
Hope the coach from the NCL team, Sebastian Alexander, is not watching this. I'll definitely add in, come March. And last year I struggled with it. I fought it the whole time. I was like, I'm not doing that interval stuff. But by the end of the year, I started doing it and I felt better. But I've got it. Maybe for, I mean, the American season's very short now. Like our season's like 5 months long. Like that's what, April to September-ish. You know what I mean? So it's like that's okay. So yeah, I've got to add in some more, maybe come March. I think we're doing I'm very motivated this year because we've got a stage race start to things. I think the NCL's like, we're gonna move away from spending a lot of money to go to one day crits, you know, where we can take the team to Redlands, we can take them to Joe Martin, we can take them to Sea Otter, and they'll get some benefit from it. And then we can like go to the bigger crits, maybe Tulsa. Stuff like that, and do our NCL races. So I think I'm very motivated this year because I do love stage races. That's my love. You know what I mean? And we are starting, I think, with Redlands and Sea Otter, then on to Joe Martin, then on to Nationals. So like it's this quartet of like more stage racing where you can really build a big base and then move into your more crit style training, you know. So you know, one of the best analogies I've ever heard, and I've lived my whole life by it with training, is when you do all your zone two and base and all that, you grow your pencil. And when you do your VO2, you sharpen it. Right? And if you do too much VO2, your pencil's gone. You know what I mean? So like you might be able to go hard for 30 minutes, but then you're done. You know,
Base
so
is
like
mega.
yeah, for me as a more aerobic style rider, if my base isn't there, I've got nothing because I actually can't. Well, I'm going all over the joint here.
No, this is good.
I was trained. He coached the team, Inigo San Milan, the Pogacar's coach now, or what? And he had us doing a lot of the zone two, which was tempo. It was not zone two. It was, you know, 300 watts for five
I was gonna say,
hours
were you guys doing it by
laying.
power or heart rate or RPE?
Heart rate in the winter, heart rate, and as you got more fit, you get more tired, your heart rate gets lower. Like I was a hundred and between 145 and 150 pounds, so that's 66 and 68 kilo. And to stay in my zone, I'd have to do 320 for an hour. Just to, and that was the first hour of a 5 hour zone two ride, you know. So he was good and everything, but he needed to be like, all right, if you can't get in the zone doing 275 watts averaging for an hour, well then you're probably a bit tired or the zones need to be recalibrated. I mean, now with the lactate, because his was all on lactate, right? like the, staying in zone two with lactate. So now with the continuous lactate monitor, I think it'd be very different. You could hit that zone two no matter what's your. But anyway, I digress. He would always say you can only change your top end so much. You know what I mean? Like it, the top end is like you can change it, but not a drastic amount. What you can change is if you have glucose in your legs at the end of the race. That was it.
What? Okay. So do you feel like when you're talking about him really making it more zone three at that power, do you feel like you were going too hard or it was like weighing?
Yeah, I think it was too hard, especially once you got in the. But he, to his defense, he wasn't personally coaching us all. So when you have a coach on a team, you got 12 athletes. Who knows what the team was paying him? I don't know. So like that also depends. Like you got to be a bit more broad spectrum with your training, where you know maybe as you got into the season, or as I said, he could have told you a bit more key things. I didn't know anything. I just knew I had to stay between 150 and 155 for 4 or 5 hours. You know, my max is 180. But as you get fitter and tired, that's hard. You know, so I think it was too hard because, but it depends how much you do of it. Like I've had other coaches that zone two's like just a bit above endurance, so maybe 240 to 270. You know, for a guy who doesn't, you know, a middle range weight guy, you know, so that you can bang in day after day. Like I can average that and do multiple days with Inigo's thing. I have to do a day and sit on the couch, maybe two, and do it again. You know, it got me some good form, but it was just a matter of like, you could probably do more of it a bit less, which would add it into what I like doing. Or if you didn't like riding your bike, yeah, there's the other end. So yeah.
And when you bring up intervals that you would do, so, you know, doing the zone two, big zone two, doing some of the low cadence, then you mentioned as you're getting towards racing, people like some specifics. You mentioned like 6x2 VO2 max. It seems like VO2 max is your interval set that you'll go to. Is that, am I getting that vibe
Yeah.
correctly? Or what do
Yeah,
you,
or
how
30.
do you, what do you go, are you gonna say 30 30s or what's
Yeah,
your
30.
jam?
Anything that's like you know, from my old, the coach I had for years, I had for almost 10 years, Andy Applegate. He coaches for CTS. He lived in Asheville, now in California. I still have all these workouts saved, his VO2 stuff saved. And he, great guy, great coach. And so to me, it's anything. Like he'd have like some workouts were 10 by a minute and a half. You know, first minute was at VO2 and then a 30-second attack, you know, and you do 3 minutes. To me, it doesn't really matter to me. Like, but VO2, if you're just going to do 6x2, it's not, it's VO2, but it's not really race prep. Right? Because when in a race do you sit there and do a perfect VO2 and then rest? You know, so to me, it's more like you can do the VO2 stuff, but also like he'd have certain ones that were like, you know, you could make a heap of them up. So I don't really get too possessive over what they are. I just know that I'm going to get a benefit from that.
So you make a really good point that I think is kind of what we were talking about before about there have been intervals that I see people in forums be like, but what is this physiologically working? And it's become this like, I'm only training VO2. I'm only working on threshold. And people will poo-poo on like a give a 30-second attack, ride in a pace line for 2 minutes at like tempo, push it at
Yeah.
threshold, and then go ballistic for a minute. And they're like, well, what does that
That's a
work from like
race.
a
That's a
bike race?
race.
That's a
Yeah,
race.
bike race.
And
And
for
yeah.
me, and I'm only gonna speak for myself, but when I'm in those situations in a race and I'm thinking, I've done that, like, okay, it's about to ramp up, or you know, I'm in a group of six dudes and it's like, oh, here's the sprint to the
Yeah.
sprint to the sprint.
Yeah,
When
yeah.
everything's popping out of your eyes are popping out of your head, it's like, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. And you win, it's like, whew, I can't believe I just did that. But you've done it
Yeah.
all these other times. It's like, you know, the dress rehearsal. So I think, you know, kind of going back to the science and the experience, we've got to blend everything together. And I think, you know, structure has a really good place, but it's also this go race, go do dress rehearsals, throw in some group rides. Like everybody needs something different. It's like you got to read the athlete if you really want to help them get to their top.
For sure.
Do you go in the gym at all?
Oh, Well, I should.
You sound so sad. I should.
I should. No, actually, the year I went from UHC to Floyd's, I stopped pretty early in the year, and because I was having my baby, so I did Utah and I stopped, and that was the first time I had a long off season. Like usually on UHC, we'd race till like October, you'd have a few weeks off, and you'd be getting ready to go to San Luis in January. So there wasn't a lot of time, and I never, not that I didn't believe in it. I'm from that old school thing where guys didn't really do gym in the season. You know, now they're popping it off everywhere. You know, so that's and that and so, but that year, yeah, my buddy Adrian Hedgeveri, he used to also race for UHC,
Badass.
big tall ox. He's now head of New Zealand track cycling.
Okay.
He'd be a good dude to get on here because he is very
Look it
up to
up,
date.
dog. Look it up. Let's go.
Very, very up to date with the science and also connects to what I talk about. But he got me, he was in Asheville, he was training for the Olympics. He did the Madison with Holloway, and
Okay.
he got me in the gym, and I did about 4 months of gym, and I became addicted to it. I loved it.
That's
You know what I
awesome.
mean? And then I won through Taiwan, and you know, the first stage I won in a small field sprint, and the second stage, the other one that kind of clinched me the title was in a small field sprint too. So like Jim had to have something to do with that.
That's
4 months
awesome.
of it, you know.
Do you feel
So
like you felt it also climbing? Like, I just feel my core gets so much stronger, more stable. I feel more solid on the bike, and that even my arm, like getting out of the saddle. I'm not a big dude, so I think the best compliment I ever got was Fort McClellan. I think your team, Daniel Diaz, won that year. I think he was on your team.
No, Jaramillo won,
And Eric Marcotte comes up to me. He's like, "Yo, big boy, getting over the climbs today." And I was like, "Oh shit, Eric Marcotte just said something to me." But
Marcotte.
the gym, that has always been mega for me. I feel like it's a game changer. I know it's some people are into it, some not. Hey, I want to be respectful of your time. Are you good to go for a little bit more? Or do you
Yeah,
gotta?
for sure. I'm gonna probably try to ride at like 11, so there's another hour. I'm good.
Now
I've
we'll make it 15 minutes.
All right, sweet. I'm saying another hour, and you're like, nah, brother, you got
No,
15
I don't
minutes
want to. I don't
left.
want to take up your whole morning. Even though people do love the long format, I did one with Colby Pierce, and he sent me a calendar invite for 2 hours. I was like, "Oh, 2 hours." We talked for 2 hours. I was like, "Oh, dude, Colby's going in." Someone's like,
Cool.
"Colby only does mega long format." So I was like,
Nah,
"Let's
sweet.
go, let's go."
Nah, we're
Do
good. Whatever
you
you need.
feel so? I appreciate you sharing kind of about some of the mental struggle, and maybe this is intertwined in some of this, like any missteps in training that you felt over this super long career, where not to poo-poo on a person, but like maybe a method, or like you're giving some kudos to lifting. Did you ever try anything that just you're like, this just does not work for me, whether it's a specific technique or maybe a type of periodization, or like maybe it was simply like, hey, I got away from my zone two training. But does anything kind of pop out when you think of a misstep, mistake, something you'd change maybe?
Well, I just think I wish my entire career I was less emotional towards the training. Like, and that's like a, you know, that's not going to happen. But I look at guys now who's like, and I say this with all love, like not to this extent, but to this extent, like my life depends on this shit. You know what I mean? And like, it's like, I wish I had other things in life to take me away from the bike. Like, I digress a little bit here again, but I listen to these like I don't know, these gravel superstars and stuff like that, and like they get asked, well, you know, what advice have you got for kids? And they come out with a, well, you gotta love it, it's you gotta be fun and blah 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 blah. And sure, when you're young it does, and it still is sometimes now for me, right? But if I gave advice to a kid, I would be like, if you want to do this for a long time, find something else you love. Because at some point, this shit, you're going to hate it. You know what I mean? So, like, I wish in my career, I had have found more stuff out of the sport. So, when I got this coach who was all science-based, and he was like, if you do this and eat this and sleep this and do this, you will do this. And even if I hated it, I could have done it and checked out to working on my car or riding horses or going hunting that gave me just as much joy that it made the cycling part insignificant. Like guys at UPS don't, they're not there like, you've got to have fun and you've got to love this and stuff like that. They're like, now let's get through this so I can go hunting. Because that's what I love. You know what I mean? So that's my, that not one thing stands out. Like I'm the issue with training in my career. It's me, it's my attachment to it. So I wish I just had a different outlet, and I would yearn for kids to find their other outlets. So they're oh, one memory sticks out of when I rode for an Italian team when I was still under 23. I didn't make the national team, so they pushed me to an Italian team. I remember the director, because they do everything, you know, they small team, kids. He'd put the oil on your legs before the race, and he'd just grab the fat on my legs, and he'd just be like, and then he'd keep rubbing. And then he'd grab the fat again and just be like, Jonathan, Jonathan is no good, no good, no good. You know, and then he'd come in and like go through the bin. This is a great, and don't get me wrong, this man, I love this man. Like he's a good dude. You know what I mean? But then he'd come in and like, he'd go through the rubbish bin to see if you had a receipt there for
I love that.
a Mars bar from the coffee shop. You know what I mean? And like, so like, I was tormented in that moment. But you know, I wish I had more coping skills of like, well, this guy's a bit of an idiot, but I'm going to go and do this because this makes me happy and he can do whatever he wants. You know what I mean? But instead, I'd just sit there in the house, just grinding my teeth, festering about that. You know what I mean? So that's just one example of like, if you have an outlet, because I'm telling you guys, at one point you are going to hate, you're going to hate this sport. I don't care what anyone says. If anyone tells you they've loved this shit for their whole career, I don't buy it. You know what I mean? I
So,
buy it from, yeah.
yeah, so I think, but even as you mentioned before, like you've had waves that, and I asked you that question about like the waves of like the love for this because, you know, I think when people first hit that feeling of this kind of sucks, what am I doing? Why am I spending 12, 15, 20 hours a week doing this biking thing? And you always came back though, like you're still here. So I think, what do you think was that? Because you didn't have those things you're saying
Well,
now.
yeah, and
Like, it's that
that's
love. Is it just that self-care that the bike is giving you? Like, we kind of hit, and then I think, I can't remember where we diverted to before, but
yeah.
you know, I think your sole focus on it, like being obsessed with it, is a good thing. I mean, there's
Yeah.
Steve Magnus has a book, and I don't think it was Do Hard Things. It's a different one where they're talking about like obsessed people do really well. And it's
For
okay to
sure.
have those blinders on. So I don't know. Maybe that's like another way of looking at it. Maybe it wasn't the worst thing. I mean, dude, look at your career. And I don't, you seem like a humble guy. So I hope you
Well,
realize the magnitude of like people you've affected through your racing in a positive way for all of these years that you are. I told somebody that I was interviewing Johnny Clark. They're like, yeah. And this is a young kid. And I was like, oh, dude, he's as hyped. He's as hyped as when someone that's in my club who's like 47 is gonna be like, oh my God, Johnny Clark, I watch it, you know? So like that obsession has created such a positive thing for so many other people. Hopefully it's been as positive for you, but you've been projecting that whether you knew it or not.
yeah, I think my I think I have a bit more of a darker blend on it is that like I've always been scared to lose my bike and lose my career because then I have to then it's time to deal like I use my bike as a tool to cope, right? So if I and it's much harder to exercise than it is to train. Much harder. The few times like the COVID year when I had nothing going on, and in off seasons when I can't take time off the bike and I'm exercising, that's horrible. I'm gonna have to do it one day for sure. But so I was always scared of losing my career because on Monday morning I wouldn't have to train. And then I'd have to sit in the house and deal with the funk that's in my chest. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying poor me. I'm not saying poor me because I know a lot of people go through it And but that leads, so I'm going to delve deeper here. That leads into now, so the style of training I've used to cope with life, has that changed the style of rider I am in the race? Now, so if I love
I would say no. How do you
well,
see
but
that?
okay, so if I love, okay, maybe not the style of training, but my mental state, right? So when a director comes to me and says, I'm going to pay you $2 for the year and you're going to ride the front every race, you know, and I sidetrack a little bit. If I didn't have my wife, I wouldn't be able to get paid $2 a year, but because she's carried me through a lot of the sport. But if he said that to me and it was a matter of like career, like you got a team or not, yes. You know why? Because if I don't do that and I get fired on Monday morning, what do I do? You know, so it's never been a matter to me of like, I don't want to do the work for that guy, or I want to win. It's a matter of me of like, I've got to do what I'm told because if I've got to keep this job and I've got to get a contract next year, because if I don't get a contract next year, I'm in trouble. You know what I
I
mean?
got you.
So it's a lot, a little bit darker. My like I always say persistence pays off, you know, and it does. But I think a lot of my reason for persistence has been I'm scared. You know, I'm scared not to have a reason to train.
Fear's a big motivator. I
Yeah.
mean, you know.
So I
No, I
don't know,
appreciate
but
that, man. That's I think because I think of myself, and this is good. Like, I want other athletes to be able to resonate with this when they have those feelings, because I think I've quit racing 8 times. And I told someone that, and they said, "What?" They're like, "You're obsessed with this." I said, "Yeah, but at some points I get to the end of the season, I'm like, what am I doing? This is so stupid. I'm going to like middle of nowhere USA to race the same guys on a different course. This is lame." And then I take a break and I'm like, "Oh, I kind of missed that." And that
Yeah.
was me this past year. I finally was like, you know, I've been married a couple years and I'm in North Carolina and maybe I don't really need to race. I think I just like train. I'm just going to train. And then a couple months in, I was like, this is kind of lame. What am I doing this for? I said, maybe I won't ride. My husband looked at me, he's like, dude, you're what is wrong with you? And I was just
Yeah.
like riding too much and just, you know, feeling kind of lost with the sport. I said, well, maybe I'll go to a race. And it was just like, oh, I miss this so much.
Yeah.
So
I think that well that thing you talk about just there, that's kind of been that's where it's different if it's your if you if it's your job.
yeah,
Because if it
true.
that's the guidance, the job the being on a team and the job part gives you. Because I've watched my older brother go through what you're talking about right now. Like he has his job and makes his money somewhere else, and he'll go through like it's the summer and I'm getting ready. You know, and like get ready for the crits, and he'll get there and he'll get fit and he'll win a crit. And then I think he's like, whatever. You know, but if it's your job, it's like, well, no, there is no whatever, because come next week, you got to go to that race. You know, so I've always been very scared not to have that, yeah, that team or, and a lot of people have criticized me a bit. Teammates in the past have criticized me for being a yes man, you know, like, at certain moments, I'm not going to fight the grain because I'm scared not to have this, you know, and that's just honest, you know. So I think it's, yeah, you highlighted the fact of it being a job. Like I don't know if you sometimes what I've made calling it a job, you can't call it a job, but just that team, you know, and you have to show up. That yeah. That gives me a lot. So, yeah, going back to young kids and that, yeah. I have you ever seen this weightlifter called CT Fletcher?
I don't think
He's
so. I watch Alan Thrall. He's like a,
okay.
yeah.
This is old
What's up with
school.
this guy?
He's an old school dude, and he was so I think he was 15 times world natural weightlifting champion, right? And you know, early in his career, he's just throwing weights up, and he's like, and he used to talk about how he'd eat like, you know, I don't know, 15 cheeseburgers for lunch, and like, big dude. And then, you know, come later in his life, his heart's just blown apart. You know, he's had like three heart reconstructions, and he just refuses to stop lifting. I hope he's still with us. I haven't seen
You
him.
have to Google
I
this
haven't looked
guy.
him up. Yeah, I better Google him before I go on it. But his motto was obsession is a necessity to be great. I saw him giving a speech to young kids, and like, of course, he's probably not the most well-rounded individual to be giving, either am I, to be giving kids a speech, but there is something to that of obsession is a necessity to be great, right? Probably not until your heart explodes.
Yeah. That might be like go a step before that if possible.
But there is a there, there's something to it that it's like you need to be somewhat obsessed. Like you need to be going to bed like excited about the training you're doing tomorrow and like
Yeah. I think
yeah.
you make a very good distinction of the difference between a job and the way I look at it, and I've kind of lost that. I had a friend that actually back it was probably right around when you were coming to Rochester in 2008, and he was with MVP. It was just a I don't think they were a domestic pro team. I think they were just Cat Ones, but he is like I said, man, it'd be so cool to ride your bike for a living. He said, that changes racing. It's a whole lot different when that's your paycheck and everything depends on it. And so, yeah, that's interesting. CT Fletcher still alive, kicking, 64 years old in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. So shout out.
Why didn't you get your assistant to do
I know. Jamie, that's his name. We need a Jamie.
that?
Maybe I can get Landry to do that.
Oh, he do one more question I got for you.
Yeah.
Told that your husband helped invent Invisalign.
You were told that. God,
Yes.
who told you that? I wish that was true because we would be balling right now. No. Damn. He's gonna love to hear that and he's gonna be pissed. No, he did not.
Okay, cool. Because I got Invisalign when I was like 35, and someone told me, yeah, I think his husband like invented Invisalign, and I was like, no shit. I'm
Dude,
like,
if he invented Visalign, I would have the pro
yeah.
team that I want to own. That's not for
Yeah,
another 10
no,
years. That's what I need to put this in the world. All right, I'm gonna have a world tour team somehow. I don't know, but we're gonna make that happen.
and in the
I
contract,
would have a team bus.
I'm doing all 3 grand tours. I don't care. It's my team, kiss my ass, and we'll go from there. So
That
shit.
is a dream. If I had any connection to pro teams and just being able to go like tag along and like, dude, this freaking loser's on our training ride again. And I'm like, let's go, guys. Let's roll out. 9 o'clock. I said, be here.
No, they'd all if you were the main sponsor, they'd all be smiling and saying, "Let's go, man. Let's
Yeah, that
go
would suck
training."
though. That would suck to be
It
just
would.
the money
It
guy and
would.
like.
But some people love it. Some people don't. Some people don't feel that whatsoever, and they just get amongst it, man.
Yeah, I have.
You just got to fly to Mallorca about this time of year and do some of your intervals and blow past the pros,
I
and then just
know
be like.
Oh man, dude, I've super enjoyed talking to you. My last question, actually, so you're on Instagram. That's usually my last question. But since you brought up the thing, the piece of advice to kids that you would alter, would that be your piece of advice of like,
For
look,
sure.
do the cycling, but have other things that you experiment and find a love for off the bike?
100%. And don't be listening to me all jaded. You can love it for the first 10 years that you do it, but like I'm just saying, at some stage that's gonna dwindle and you're gonna have to find something else.
You say
And I have
jaded,
but
man, but I think that's experience. That's not jaded. That's like
but
you've been
some
polished in a way and you've
nah.
experienced.
But some people these days would be like, "Oh, you're grumpy. Oh, you're just," and I'm like, "Well, if you'd done it for this long, you'd be a little bit grumpy too." You know what I
Well,
mean?
even I
So,
think the way when you talked about your brothers, about how like they had the anaerobic power a little bit more of the sprint kick, but had you had that, you probably wouldn't have won Tour de Taiwan.
no, maybe not. No, I mean, I don't. It's
Like,
all
dude, I
good, man.
pick your physiology versus theirs. Like, yeah, they were pretty badass, but I would rather be Johnny Clark. So I don't know.
They would firmly disagree.
Well, of course they would. Like, look at the cards they're holding. They've got theirs. They're like, damn it, Johnny. Anywho.
No, I enjoyed it. Thanks, man. I didn't mean to also tell you that like your podcast is just training, blah blah blah, but
Oh,
I'm
no, I didn't.
definitely I wanted to come at it from a different point of view. And I think, you know, a lot of the younger guys I've seen on here, I didn't really hear them talking that much from that point of view. And they're younger. Maybe at 25, I wouldn't have come in on here and spoken about this. You know what I mean? But I think it's good for them to hear. So
I think it's like, I appreciate your message. Being like, hey, if you're looking for a science guy, that's not me. And I was like, no, I'm looking for just you. Like whoever yeah. you are, everyone's got their own story. Like, I don't know if you know the name Shannon Malseed. I did one with her. She was Australian national champion.
Yes.
She won her first attempt and then quit the next year. And so she was, and she's more of like, she struggles with like, how do I put the type of coaching in that I am? She's like a transformational coach, has this business. And she was like, I mean, I have a story to tell kind of around cycling, but she's like, you realize I was there for a year. And I'm like, yeah, I care about your story, not about like just how many watts did you do for 8 minutes on your
sure.
It is. Sure. I think that's the blend. I mean, I love Strava. I love the KOM aspect. I love watts. I hate watts per kg because I'm a big dude. But I like I don't see myself ever not riding or training in some aspect because I've seen where I was before on a friggin' spiral downhill. And now... Yeah. I mean, dude, I'll be honest, this morning I was like, holy crap. I look around, I'm like, I'm about to talk to Johnny Clark for a podcast. How is this even happening? So I'm just super grateful to be here, be riding, be training and cycling. Just endurance sports, I will say. I wish I found endurance sports earlier and just had even more experience with them. But as other people say, you find things in life when you're meant to find them. So.
At the right moment. Well, yeah, and I find I probably connect more to people like yourself these days than like, and I'm not saying the top pros don't do it for our reason either, but like, that's why I probably connect to the more recreational / racer who does it to stay alive or to get up in the morning or like, you know.
Johnny just called me a Cat 5, everybody.
Oh shit, I feel like a Cat 5 now. But yeah, that adds into like these Instagram guys who like, you know, Instagram, you can't take it all, but like who are pretty vocal about how they get up and do this exercise and training like absolutely and utterly just to stay around. You know what I mean? So like not even with a race in the vicinity. You know, there's no races in the vicinity. They get up to do this routine to be able to function. You know what I mean? And that to me, that's a strong person. That is a strong.
I like that. Like COVID, I had some crazy numbers because I just never had to worry about racing. It was just like training, which was for good and bad. But Hey man, I don't want to take up your morning.
No, you're good.
Enjoy the ride. What's the ride today?
Oh, I was just, don't I've you. Done a, yeah, no, I was just, I might even go under that today. I've done, yesterday I did some tempo and the day before was some SE. So I'm just kind of doing three on, one off and like days. And if the weather butts into that, I'll change it up. So I'm pretty much just trying to get my fitness back up the next 2 months. And
what does SE stand for?
Who?
What is
SE? Strength endurance.
Oh,
strength
okay.
endurance.
Cool. I like that.
I think the origin of SC was Francesco Moser invented it when he was going against the hour record.
Okay.
And he was, you know, and now it's blended to like some guys do it very low intensity. I know Greg Henderson. I don't know if you know him. He'd also be a cool guy to have on here.
Dude, he's my highlight reel. I came in 10th at Fort McClellan behind Greg Henderson. I'm always like, you guys know Greg Henderson from Team Sky, right? Dude, him and one of the Padilla brothers were trying to drop me. I don't know if you remember that course. It had like this.
The long climb and the short steep climb.
No, so not the super steep one. And that the 5 minute that started that blew the race up. The one on the backside that was like kind of like a highway grading. It wasn't a highway climb. But those two dudes, I was like, what did I do to you guys? There's 15 of us. There's eight guys that got up the road on the climb on the last lap. So we're fighting out, and I'm like in my head, I'm like, shh, if I get second, I'm getting top 10. Holy crap. And it was like Kevin Gerkins, Padilla, Greg Henderson, Brendan Rim.
Yeah.
I went out of my skull. Finally, Henderson gets away. Padilla sat up for a second, thought I was going to pull him up, and I was like, yo, dude. And he looked back, and I took off and caught Greg, and then he was like, oh, hi, little boy, and just took off. And yeah, that is probably my best race result ever. And this is what I love about cyclists that, and this sounds like negative, but I won the, and I hate saying this because I won this Gran Fondo. I'm just going to leave it at that. And people were amazed that I won this Gran Fondo. And it was the same season. I'm like, people don't realize like that result means way more to like you. Someone who knows racing. But it's just things get lost in the water.
For
and,
sure.
And a teammate of mine then down the road, Johnny Purvis, who was on the podcast, he was like, yo, dude, I saw that Fort McClellan result. And I was like, thank you. I gave him a hug. I'm like, you're like the only person that appreciates it.
Oh, yeah. No, there's guys who scour the results and they'll send you, like, you'll do an okay result and they'll send, and that you're very proud about. And, you know, and you get a text from them because, you know, they know what you've done to do it.
Johnny knows everyone and everything. And I keep telling him he needs a Johnny Purvis. Get your channel going, man. He would be amazing for race commentary. I should just get him back on here to like chat stuff. He's a wealth of bike racing knowledge.
Yeah.
So,
all right,
dude, go cool, get mate. It, man. I'll hit you up when I get back up that way and hopefully can cross paths on a ride. And
yeah, I'll do one of your recovery rides with you.
I don't really recover ride. I like walk. Yeah. You can ride one way. Since we're both antisocial, we'll ride. We'll like meet. We'll ride to a meet. We'll ride for like 90 minutes and then be like, okay, see ya.
We'll just ride and pass each other.
High five. Great podcast a couple months ago. See ya. Good luck. Later.
All right, pal.
Thanks, Johnny. I'll talk to you soon. You too, man. See you. Bye.